Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Adina Oberman, a mom, former preschool teacher, picture book lover, and member of the Familius marketing team. I'm also the creator of Big Books for Little Hands, a site dedicated to connecting parents and teachers with the best books for the ups and downs of life with little ones. We welcome today's guest, Dr. Cynthia Weil. Cynthia Weil is trained as an art historian and worked as both an educator and in international development. She holds a doctorate from Teachers College, Columbia University. She completed her dissertation work in Oaxaca, Mexico, where she worked closely with artisans to collaboratively develop a series of bilingual children's books published by Lee and Lowe. She is the current director of the Center for Children's Literature at Bank Street College. This episode aligns with the Familius Habits Read Together and Learn Together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on familius.com. Welcome, Dr. Weil. It's wonderful to have you on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So I'm very excited that you're here because, as I mentioned in my little intro, I used to teach nursery school and I still love all things early childhood. So it's really a joy for me to speak to you about your work with Bank Street and all that Bank Street contributes to the world of early childhood. So maybe I can ask you to give our listeners a little bit of background information about Bank Street and all that they contribute to the world of early childhood and literature.
Absolutely. Bank Street was started in 1916 by a woman by the name of Lucy Sprague Mitchell. And she was very influenced by the ideas of John Dewey, who sought a better educational experience for children. And so she started an entity called the Bureau of Educational Experiments. And the idea was to create an educational environment for children that was experiential, activity-based, child-centered, and non-hierarchical. So fast forward, this became Bank Street College of Education about 50 years later. Bank Street is comprised of a K through 8 progressive school for children, as well as a graduate program for teachers where they can get their master's. And the master's program in education is steeped in the philosophy of Bank Street. So most importantly to our discussion is Sprague Mitchell's concern and focus on children's literature. She really believed that children's books should focus on the here and now. And initially, 100 years ago, children's books were about knights and fairies and castles, which was all fun. But she thought that children's books should mine the world of the child. So in 1937, she started the Bank Street Writers Lab. Margaret Wise Brown, who ended up writing Goodnight Moon and Runaway Bunny, was an initial member. She and other writers focused on creating books that involved the world of the child. Later on, Maurice Sendak became a member. And the Writers Lab continues today with numerous members who are writing wonderful books for children. In the 1970s, an entity joined Bank Street that is now known as the Children's Book Committee. And this is now a 100-year-old best book list for children from 0 to 18, 55 currently former and current educators, publishers, child psychologists, elementary and high school teachers review 6,000 books a year. And from that group, they take the top 10% to publish in a book, best book list. And these they consider the best works for the classroom, for home. And it's published annually, and it's now over 100 years old. We're about to go into the 2024 edition. We went online a few years ago, and we are very proud to say that the list has been downloaded over 10,000 times this year. So about 12 years ago, the Center for Children's Literature was founded, and I am head of that. And it is an umbrella for the Children's Book Committee, for the numerous awards that it gives. The center gives the Irma Black Award, which is an award that focuses on the best picture book, which incorporates text and illustration. The Cook Prize, which is the best book for children focusing on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. We have an annual conference in children's literature that brings the biggest names in children's literature. Not annually, but about 7 years ago, we did the first Latinx conference of authors who write for children in Spanish, but are also Latinx authors. We publish a best Spanish language picture book list. We give courses in writing for children. The Bank Street Writers Lab is part of the center. And we do as much advocacy as we can for best works for children. Two years ago now, we started the Margaret Wise Brown Best Board Book. And that was in response to the paucity of very high quality work for babies and toddlers. 2 years ago, we reviewed everything produced on the market. We chose 17 books. And from that, we chose two works that we considered the best to give the prize to. One in the 0 to 18 category, a work called Give Me a Snickle by Alicia Seveny. And another one called All in the Family by Carol Boston Weatherford for 18 to 36-year-old, 18-month to 36-month. So anyway, we're trying to get the best work out there all the time.
Sounds like between all of these programs that you touched on, there are so many resources available to our listeners and parents and educators. So do you have advice for how adults can use those resources to improve the books that they are sharing with their families or with their classrooms?
Well, one thing I failed to mention is that our best book list, we have just created a database, which you can find on our website. And all you have to do is put in a keyword like global warming, and up will pop up. What will pop up is 10 terrific picture books on the topic. And that would certainly help you narrow down your search as you looked for a category or a subject. There's no, you know, a best book is what you like to read and share. So these are all suggestions, but I would highly recommend that for identifying best work.
Absolutely. I remember when I was in the classroom and I was at the beginning of my teaching career, I would be doing my lesson planning, and it was such a joy to go to the library to try to find just the right book to teach that particular topic or theme. But it could also be quite overwhelming because you go to the library and sometimes it's hard to know which ones are the right ones. So I can imagine myself going through all of the lists that you've created and going through all of the award-winning titles and searching my local library or local bookstores and trying first to find the ones that you recommend and consider those first. I definitely agree that it's a great way to sort of narrow things down. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of person who goes into the library and has this very strong urge to read everything on the shelf. So certainly having a list of places to start would be really, really helpful. I also wanted to go back to the advocacy work that you were talking about. Can you share a little bit more about what you do and what the organizations do?
In terms of advocacy? Well, we feel that the Bank Street name is recognized. So if we think it's important, a lot of times publishers will sit up and take notice. So in 2017, we published our best Spanish language picture book list. As we were trying to identify work in Spanish, we're based in New York. Many classrooms are bilingual. And there's a paucity of work and there's a paucity of good work. And so, we were just trying to identify what was really good to recommend. And we did. And it's not that easy to find a completely bilingual reviewer who could read both in Spanish and English and then identify problems in both. But we did it. And the feedback we got from the industry was, if you think this is important, then we will publish it. And now we are deluged. So much so that we actually had to limit it to works in Spanish that only focus on the Latinx experience, abroad or in the United States, or works in translation that have won awards, because we were just so inundated with work. So we really feel that that's been very important. And then again, with our Board Book Award, we are trying to tell publishers, we think work for this age group is really, really important. And we are going to call out and reward books that are excellent for babies and toddlers. And we created an award. And, we're saying an informed entity is going to reward you if you create something good. And publishers have told me specifically, if you don't get reviewed, if you don't get listed, if someone doesn't recognize it, the book dies in a first printing. So we think that's important advocacy.
Absolutely. I think that as parents, when we're in those early stages with our kids, it's very easy to get to focus on things like what our kids need to eat and experiences that they should have. But I think it's also quite easy to forget about, unless you're, really an early childhood professional, to forget that they are learning every single moment. So those board books that you're reading with them, you may wonder how much they're absorbing and how much they're taking in, but the answer is they're absorbing a huge amount of information. They're building their understanding of everything around them and everything that they're going to come in contact with when they're sitting on your lap and reading a book. And I always like to say, you're laying the foundation by exposing them to all of the things that they will see and hear and touch in a book. And so of course, it should be high quality. Of course, it should be something that an organization took the time to vet and tell parents, hey, this is worthwhile. This is worth exposing your child to. This is worth popping your child on your lap and taking some time to read with them. So I was so excited to learn about the Margaret Weiss Brown Award, because I think people have a tendency to think board books and sort of think, well, that's they're for babies, and kind of not really give them maybe the consideration that they deserve. But I mean, you mentioned Goodnight Moon, which the award is named after the author of Goodnight Moon. And that's a book that is woven into the fabric of so many people's childhoods and has made such an impact.
You know what the publisher told me about Goodnight Moon was that it didn't really take off until it became a board book. And when it did, back when they 50 years ago when they started creating them, that it was the catalyst for making it the go-to gift for new parents. And one thing about the board book is that you don't need a pincer grasp, so you can bat the pages, enabling a child to have that control over looking at the book and actually not needing a parent. So they're wonderful and very underestimated.
I agree. In my house, board books were really important when my kids were babies because they were so much sturdier and they could withstand being put in their mouth or taken everywhere because they were a little sturdier than picture books. Yeah. And that's a huge part of the experience as well, just bringing reading with you wherever you go and babies and toddlers learning by literally putting everything in their mouths, including books. So I think that the contribution that you and the Children's Book Council and Bank Street are making to the wealth of knowledge just about literacy and children's literatures is so important. I have asked you so many questions about the organizations that you work with and the work that they do, but I want to make sure that I ask about you and how you got started in this amazing world of children's literature. So can you tell us a little about that?
So I was a Spanish teacher many years ago, and I worked in a very unique program in that we were a K through 12 program. And for younger children and older ones as well, we really focused on what they called realia, real artifacts from the culture. And that always fascinated me. And I was always trying to bring artwork and different things I found on my travels. And so one year I did the Fulbright teacher exchange to Mexico, and I was just like bowled over by the crafts there, which are so fantastic and amazing. And I always obsessed over how I could use those crafts as teaching tools. So when I started my doctoral program at Columbia, I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool to do a book with Oaxacan artisans and use those books and use those things to teach children basic concepts? So that was over 20 years ago now. The first book in the series was called Abecedarios, and where we created a wooden figure, a Oaxacan wooden figure for every letter of the alphabet. And then the last book in the series, Vámonos, uses the work of different artisans to teach transportation. Just give you some sense. And all the little animals end up going to the library. They take a boat.
Wow.
All sorts of different ways to get to the library. You can walk. You could take a BC taxi. But ultimately, you get to the library.
Ah, beautiful.
And then you enjoy your books in the park.
Oh.
But these were all little wood carvings. And I know in California, you're much more familiar with these than people are on the East Coast. But I didn't ask anyone to do anything special. They made specific pieces for me, but from their repertoire of work. And we put them into a little book about transportation and how different ways to get to the library. So that's the 8th book in the series. I'm just currently working on the 9th one. So it's a nice marriage between being the director of the Center for Children's Literature and creating my own work. So that's pretty much how I got started.
It sounds like it's a real passion project for you. I can see the joy in your eyes, and as you said, a beautiful way to to marry your love of these beautiful cultural artifacts and your work and your passion for early childhood. So I hope that everyone checks out our YouTube channel, because then you can take a look at Vámonos that Dr. Weil so graciously shared with us. You can see the beautiful artwork and you can find all of her work there. As we begin to wind down, I just want to make sure that our listeners can find you online or get in touch with you. So what's the best way to find you online?
Okay, so to access all of those lists and things that I was talking about, Google Bank Street College of Education Center for Children's Literature. The page will pop up, and it's a gold mine of lists and videos and all sorts of great resources. I should also mention the book fest that we have every year will be online, and people will be able to watch that. So don't miss that, November 2nd. And then you can find me at cynthiaweil.net, and you can contact me. There's through Facebook. I think I also put my email address on there.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Weil. You've shared such a wealth of knowledge, and I'm so grateful that you were here today to share that with our listeners. So thank you so much.
My great pleasure to talk with you and about books. So best of luck.
Thank you. As we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familias for their support in bringing this podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review. And when you're ready for the next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you'd choose a book from Familias. One step at a time, we can make the world a happier place.